Welcome to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And we're live today.
It's so exciting. This is fun.
You seem pretty pumped up.
I am. I can't wait to talk to people. So somebody better call in.
Yeah, the number to call if you're local is 410-662-8780. That's 410-662-8780. Out of the area, the toll-free is 866-661-9309. Or if you're shy, send an email to foremanwolf@wypr.org.
No problem. There we go.
And so the theme for today's show, the central theme is it's a desperate time, right?
Yes, because there's just not a lot of food growing right now.
These are the hardest. We have meetings with chefs of different restaurants, mm-hmm. and that it's March, so you all look around at each other like, okay, if I see another root vegetable, someone kill me, right?
Right. We're all so excited for the seasonal change. You know, we're also inspired by the seasons, and yet there isn't any rhubarb yet. Asparagus isn't ready yet.
And everyone wants to push the season.
Right. And you can't, because we really do want to try.
Every pastry chef is like, oh, I have to do rhubarb tart.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm the jerk that says no. In 6 weeks, you'll get beautiful rhubarb. Wait. And asparagus, we know we'll see.
Right. But we all know that these things actually are, some of them are in the market. We just, you know, we're looking for
available,
the wonderful
not,
flavor from our local product or things that are growing close by.
Yeah, if you can get it and cook it within a day or two of being in the ground.
It's just so different, so amazing, so beautiful, you know, so bright. The colors and the flavors are just so different
right
out of the ground.
It's hard not to jump the gun.
Right, because we are. We're excited. Everyone's ready for spring. So
what's the spring like the sideways rain that we saw today, right?
Right. Well, and it's time to start thinking about maybe just doing lighter food or food that has some sort of acid level to it, something that makes you feel like, you know, it is a movement towards spring rather than the heavier braised items or something with a long cook time.
So you're thinking about predecessing the real seasonal change in ingredients, mm-hmm. with a change in approach and a change in technique.
Yeah, cooking methods, exactly.
Right. So, I want to stop you 1 second.
Okay.
Any news? Anything you're excited about? Anything that people need to know about?
Well, I found two books, and I was on the list to get them the moment they came out. And
I'm going
to
stop you a second time. There's a list, so you can get a book as soon as it comes out when it's an exciting food.
Yes.
Food book.
Well, Amazon just, you know, all you have to do is.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just Amazon. Sorry. You
I'm
know,
not,
once
not
I start buying things, once I start buying things on
there,
then, you know, they'll prompt you with, hey, this is coming up. And then I knew that these books are coming out in April and May. And there are a number of really good books coming up. The one came out, it's La Mère Brasière. She is considered the mother of modern French cooking. She actually started to write this book 2 years before she passed away. She passed away in 1977.
This is the book when you were telling me that she was feeding Charles de Gaulle and D'Estaing,
yeah,
Marlene Dietrich, and her restaurants around Lyon, right?
Right, and she actually had two, and she was the first woman to have 6 Michelin stars, which is amazing. It's just, well, she was just absolutely
rating system
a brilliant
goes to three,
cook.
So she had two
she
places?
She had two properties.
Okay.
She had two properties, and the one apparently was only open on the weekends, and they didn't have gas or electric. So this would have been during the 50s. So,
oh, that's my kind of gig. That's right? a wood fire.
I know, it's
like a restaurant lodge.
Looking through the book, it's just so exciting to have another book that really, really defines classic French cooking. And in the foreword, there's a foreword by the translator, and also one by Paul Bocuse. And there's an amazing photograph of Paul Bocuse in 1975 with her, and she was a tiny woman, and Bocuse looks so gorgeous in this photograph. I'm just in love with this book. They're great old photographs. You can see what it was like to be in a kitchen during the 40s and 50s. But yeah, she was apparently cooking for everyone, and Bocuse trained with her, as did Paccard and a couple of other very, very good chefs. So she really was, you know, following the traditions of classic French cooking, and the book defines it. There are 300 recipes.
So it is exciting. So the author, so people can find it. What is the information that they need?
It is called La Mère Brasière, Mother of Modern French Cooking, And she is titled as the author, so Eugenie Brazière, and it's Rizzoli, R-I-Z-Z-O-L-I, is the publisher,
okay.
Rizzoli is a great publisher.
Brazière is spelled B-R-A-Z-I-E-R.
Right.
Okay.
I strongly suggest it, particularly if you really want to start to learn basics of cooking.
And the second book that you were...
It's. I'm afraid I don't... we'll have to put it on the website. I don't have it on the top of my head, but it's a Flammiron book that actually has... It's a current book. I mean, literally, it just came out in print, and it is all some of the best chefs in Paris and throughout France. So it's, I think it's from the Côte d'Azur. It's basically all over. The title of the book tells you all about the chefs from all over France, so Normandy to the southern part of France, and the chef at one of our favorite restaurants in Paris, Le Carré de Friant, is in there, and Guy Savoy is in there, and they have recipes and little stories and beautiful photographs, and it's just really brilliantly done. So we'll put that on the website so you can look for that. It's a great one to have.
I think your love for cookbooks is the same thing most people who are excited home cooks. It's there's a photograph, there's a story, and there's inspiration to get yourself in the kitchen.
Exactly.
So if you're inspired and you're in the kitchen, what in the world? So do you have a recipe or an idea for that technical change we were talking about, that change for the season?
Well, first of all, today, as rainy as it is, I would definitely be making soup. So, I love lentil soup, and it is something that can kind of sit on the stove. Lentils don't take that long to cook. They're one of the quicker cooking beans. And you would just make I would make a smoked ham hock broth. I would make my broth first, or you could use chicken stock and flavor that however you want. If you want it to be spicy, put a couple of chilies in there. If you want it to be more Middle Eastern, put a little bit of saffron or sumac in there. If you want it to be more basic, just put salt in, you can just use the smoked ham hocks and eventually just add salt and pepper if it's needed later.
So what kind of lentils are you buying?
French green lentils from Dupuy, and they are the famous lentils. It's an AOC. It's the best lentils in France, and they have a beautiful flavor, and it really does make a difference to buy the French green lentils. And really, with your stock, you're just adding basic things: carrot, celery, onion, a small dice, a little bit of shallot. If you like garlic, a little bit of garlic, and get all of that working. Add your stock and just work your broth with the smoked ham hocks or chicken, whichever way you prefer to go. Or if you're a vegetarian, just use the vegetables. And
lentils do well with a mushroom stock or a mushroom broth if you're a vegetarian too.
Absolutely,
for sure.
Absolutely. And just let that stock work for about 45 minutes, and then wash your lentils and add them. I do pre-soak them maybe for 10 minutes. I don't pre-soak lentils very long because they are a quick bean. And then drain those and add them to the broth and let them cook until they're tender. And you have this amazing soup. I would pull out the ham hocks. I might pick the meat off of the bones and eat that, or add it back to the soup. But basically, you would just pull that out. You could always use bacon instead of a smoked ham hock if you have a hard time finding the hocks. But something a little bit lighter, kind of thinking a light pasta dish. And I was going through a book.
Oh, you're all over exactly what's in my brain.
Oh,
this
really?
Time of year.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, yeah. Because, I was thinking, I saw this recipe for a lobster pasta where they actually broke the spaghetti before they added it, which I never thought of doing. Obviously, a dried pasta. The broth was just a light lobster stock or a light shrimp stock or even a light chicken stock, and just adding the pasta to that, cooking the pasta in the broth, and then near the end adding your lobster pieces to it, and maybe a little bit of garlic, a little bit of chili flakes, or again you could add saffron to this or fresh basil, some sort of pasta that's light. And if you don't want to go for the price for the lobster, you could make a fish pasta like that.
I wonder if there's a purpose for breaking the spaghetti other than not wearing as much sauce on your shirt.
I don't know, but we were laughing about it in the kitchen.
From the long noodle.
Yeah, we were looking at my chef de cuisine and I were looking at the recipe together, and we were laughing about how no one will be able to twirl their pasta, so how are they going to eat this?
Oh,
but
my.
It looked really, really great.
Well, if you want to call in, we're live today. It's 410-662-8780 with your questions or your quizzing us on early spring ingredients or the leftover winter ingredients or the cooking for the bad weather outside.
I think one of the other things that we can actually really consider right now, we're close, are crawfish. That will be one of the first things that you see. And so if you can get your hands on crawfish, and I would probably even go online and see if I could figure out how to get some sent to my house, because I don't, you know, or ask your local grocery if they would get them in for you.
So crawfish show up and they look like these little alien creatures,
yeah.
Right? You're talking about getting someone to ship you crawfish tails or getting whole live crawfish?
I think it would just be easier for people at home. I think it depends upon the level of cooking ability you have. So if you would like it to be easy, ask if you can see if you can find someone that will send you a 1 pound bag of just the tails, and you do want them to be domestic. You want them to be from the Gulf, from our country. Or if you are brave and want to really learn how to cook and do something fun, you do get them. But I believe they sell them in 50 pound bags or 25 pound bags.
And they will run all
so
over
that's
your
huge.
Kitchen.
Yeah. And they are alive. and they're
and
you
they're
know,
speedy.
Your children might run screaming out of the house. I don't know, or someone, but yeah. And you might want to share with a neighbor because it would be, you know, I don't think you can buy them in small quantities, but, you know, try.
Live crawfish look like the monsters that they shot, like if they blew them up at the right angle in the 1950s monster movies, you know, like the crawfish that ate Cincinnati or something like that.
They're not pretty, but they're really red. And so when you do cook them.
That's why they're so scary.
You want to cook them in aromatic broth. So water, mirepoix, carrot, celery, and onion, large pieces, a little aromatics. Further would be bay leaf, thyme, peppercorn. And just cook them until they're so tiny, it takes no time, but you don't want to overload your pot. So that would be one of the things you would want to consider. You're going to need a big pot. And, you know, cook them for just a minute or two. And then one of the things about cleaning crawfish is you actually just twist the tail off, pull it out. And sometimes if you take the flipper fin, which is, you know, at the end of the tail, if you twist that as well, you can pull the vein out and it makes it a lot easier to deal with them.
That's an easy trick.
Yeah, it is a very good little trick. It doesn't always work. It can be a bit frustrating. But if you can get it to work, it's nice to be able to get that little vein out. And because that is basically their digestive tract, and that's where sand and silt and all that, whatever they consume, goes through. So it can be a little gritty. That's why you want
to
get rid of that.
Things, yeah.
Yeah, you want to get rid. So, and then you can now you can do a multitude of things. You know, you can again make a little light pasta with that, or you could make rice with crawfish and a little cream sauce and a little tomato and fresh tarragon, or you could flame them with pastis and add cream, or you could just saute them in butter and just enjoy the heck out of them and eat a whole bunch of them, or you could make soup. Which is, of course, what I would do because I love crawfish soup.
You've got soup on the brain.
Well,
with the
I
rain
love to
outside.
Make soup. It's one of my favorite things in the world to make, soups and sauces. But crawfish, and then so that's actually a product that should be around soon.
The thing that I said, pasta is something that's on my brain, and the thing that strikes me, and we'll put a gnocchi recipe up on the website. Our gnocchi this time of the year. One,
okay.
You don't wear a lot on your shirt with gnocchi, and two, they're so. When you make them correctly, they're tender enough and they don't require a lot of sauce or any particularly strong garnish. And those first things that show up, whether it's fiddlehead ferns, morel mushrooms, the very first asparagus, very easy to blanch, you know, to blanch the fiddleheads or the asparagus and then either maybe grill it and have little tiny pieces of it or roast it, whatever it might be. And just serve that with a little bit of very good butter with the gnocchi,
and
just show off that as a backdrop for that strong spring flavor.
The best thing about gnocchi is that texture, getting it to the point where it is like little pillows, very tender.
So we'll put a recipe up on the website. Email us your questions, Foreman Wolf at wypr.org, and we'll be back.